The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Hurst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahey, Iconic Army.
Borahey.
So we got to get together for the release of More.
Mm-hmm.
It came out at 11 p.m. our time. And what was really unique about this experience for us was that Britt, your sister, was also there. Mm-hmm. And obviously you see her all the time. She's your sister. But it's probably been years since I've seen Britt.
Which is so strange
strange.
It's been that long.
Yeah, because we all live here in Kansas City. And even when you were doing Travel OT, she was still living here.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess just without you, we didn't have much of a reason to get together. But it was so amazing to see Britt because mm-hmm. it took us back to literally the beginnings of our days with not only podcasting, but with standing BTS, like being fans and being ARMY.
Mm-hmm.
Like I discovered BTS with you at your condo that you lived with Britney at.
Yeah.
I mean, we fangirled all three of us together all the time. And she was on our J-Hope episode, which was probably like number five
or
something.
Yeah, like episode five or something.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have found BTS if it wasn't for Britney because mm-hmm. she was learning K-pop music for one of her patients.
Yeah.
And I had kind of heard about BTS. So yeah, that's really the origin. So it was so fun to have Britney here for pretty much the launch of BTS's solo projects, you know, if you think about it that way. And she's, of course, a J-Hope bias too.
Mm-hmm.
So we hung out for a good amount of time and then we stayed up till 11 when it dropped.
Yeah.
And got to witness that for the first time all together and be shocked and and, you know, completely starstruck all at the same time.
The first thing we did after finishing it for the first time was just all three of us were like, again.
Immediately. couldn't even, you know, put into words what we were thinking. It took so much time to, like, absorb what we had watched. But all we knew is that we had loved it. And we just needed it to be replayed right away.
We needed more immediately.
Yeah.
It was just an incredible night. I think that we, like you said, we immediately loved it. And it was, you know, it was probably 11:30 before Britt and I left to go mm-hmm. home. And I blasted More in my car with the bass up all the way home.
Oh, yeah.
Like I typically don't even like bass, but for some reason with this song, I was like, I need to feel it in my bones. Like, you know, and it was really great. And then I was up for like a few more hours, like into the early morning, just listening to it and streaming it. I could not go to sleep.
We
didn't want to.
We both couldn't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I had to work the next day and I'm like, I just cannot sleep. We were just texting back and forth. Like, just, we couldn't stop talking about it.
We couldn't stop talking about it.
I'm like, do I start a doc? We started a doc at like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. And we started putting stuff in this doc for this episode.
Yeah.
Like literally right away because we just had so many thoughts, so much to say about it.
Yeah.
My initial reaction that I couldn't stop saying over and over was, why does he look so natural? Why does he mm-hmm. look so in his element? Like, mm-hmm. it looks like he's been doing this genre of, like, rock, punk. Like, he's had this, like, emo side to him his whole life.
Right.
And why is it that, like, I'm just now seeing it? Like, he suits it. It fits him. It makes sense. Mm. But, like, again, we really haven't seen this style and concept from J-Hope before.
We haven't seen this side of him, and I don't think he's been able to show us this side of him before. Right.
But so, it's so natural.
It's so natural.
He looks casual. I mean, just, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like second nature to him.
100%.
Yeah.
Really cannot wait to dive into everything regarding more today. On that note, welcome back. We are your hosts. I'm Kayla.
I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we're going to talk about the production of More, the lyrics for More, and also the music video.
Yeah.
All of it here today.
Yep, for sure. Before we get into it, we do want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for all of your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode documents, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, where we talk about everything going on with BTS together with you, it is always so much fun.
Yes.
And even our sound checks, which are little pre-recording conversations where we kind of catch you up on what's going on in our lives. And it's a really intimate conversation. Like, you feel like you're sitting in the room with us. Mm-hmm. If you would like access to that, then you could consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps really to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. But any type of support is super appreciated. Thanks for being here today and for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Iconics. So for our charity of the month in July, we really struggled to pick one cause because there's so much going on in the world right now. So this month, Iconics, we're asking you to do something a little bit different. Instead of supporting a charity, all of us collectively, please find a local cause that is important to you and get involved. Find something that you are passionate about and support it by spreading the word on social media or by donating your time or money. There's no better feeling than supporting a cause you're passionate about, especially within your own community. So let's get charitable, Iconics.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, it's going to be great for July.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into the production for More.
Yeah.
More is this West Coast 90s hip hop that meets grunge, 90s grunge. So it's really this rap rock genre.
Totally.
After listening to it, I immediately thought of Beastie Boys. You really had thought about Linkin Park, especially with Run BTS. So mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting to see like that rap rock genre being carried over again here with like J-Hope and Linkin Park coming up again. We're like, what? This rap rock genre, it's really coming forth here. And then I also thought of Cypress Hill, especially that hip hop beat that you feel. So it's all this, you know, early 90s rap rock style. But what was interesting is we've always had that hip hop from J-Hope. Like that's been consistent with his music, but this rock element seems to be a little bit more newer. But then I thought back to Dionysus, because Dionysus, when we had done our album review for Persona, we had talked about rap rock and that J-Hope really stood out in that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stop thinking like, wow, did we give him enough credit for Dionysus? Was he the one who wanted to dabble into that more rock, rap rock genre?
Right.
You know, so I just think that this genre really suits him. It fits him.
Yeah.
And I am so happy that he's exploring it now and giving it to us and showing us this side.
I think at the time of Dionysus, we didn't question like who, you know, whose inspiration it came from or like where that kind of genre came from. It was like, oh, wow, we haven't
BTS really, as a whole.
Right. As BTS as a whole. We were like, we haven't gotten anything from BTS like really like this before. Mm-hmm. But it feels like now that maybe J-Hope really did want to explore that style more.
Yeah.
To me, the beginning, the very beginning of this song, just with like that hip hop beat coming in before the really rocky elements come in, reminds me of like the beginning of the beats of No More Dream, just because I think both of them are rooted in that 90s classic hip hop style. So I just think that's kind of cute that No More Dream is BTS's debut and that a little bit of that similar music style is kind of mirrored here in, you know, J-Hope's debut with his solo work.
Right. Yeah.
We also really need to talk about the difference in production that we get in the chorus and in the verses, because the first time we watched, our jaws were on the floor just from that shock.
It's so drastic, the more mild verse and how intensely the chorus hits.
Yeah, the production is more stripped down in the verses. We know that the verses have like that really heavy 808 bass beat, and then there's also like a drum kit, and then some of his own ad-libbing also is kind of put into the beat of that instrumental, and that bass, those bass notes also are kind of sliding from note to note that are creating a lot of those really low heavy vibrations that you hear and
the
feel.
The bass line is so interesting that it's not like a, you know, like a strumming,
right,
you know, plucking out the notes, bass notes. It's the sliding from note to note, and it really creates that vibration, and the bass line is so low and it's so beneath the track. It's sexy.
I love it.
The bridge is also pretty different from the rest of the production. So at the bridge, the bass drops out and the drums, maybe those like 808 drums that we were talking about, calm down some too, but then there's these real lovely soft keyboard chords that I feel like they sound so pretty. I think seventh chords are really pretty. I don't know if they are seventh chords, but they give off that same effect, you know, almost lo-fi-y. It's super calming.
Yeah. And like, I hadn't noticed those. And when you pointed them out to me, I was like, the effect of these and the placement of these right here in the song, where they fit in that bridge right before that last like chorus really hits.
When he's saying inhale and exhale to have this calming production to it.
Yeah. It's really genius.
It is.
Because those chords, I don't know, like if they are seventh chords or whatever, but they really are pretty.
They're very pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also too, during the verses, not only are we getting, you know, that kick snare and all of that with the ad-libbing, but there's also this higher pitched, we don't know what it is. It's a higher pitched, like distorted vocal that almost sounds like a whoop, whoop, but it's been pitched up, you know, there's been some effect on it, or it could be like a sound effect. That's just like, you know, one of those sound effects that you can pick off of a keyboard or, you know, a sample within, you know, some kind of production program that they have, but it kind of gives off the effect of like a record scratch that you hear in typical hip hop.
For
but it's
sure.
not that, But it is, it acts as this like higher up sound, pitched up sound in the song, which, you know, when you've got the strong drums and you've got the strong bass line, that higher pitch really kind of adds to it.
Yeah, you kind of need something like floating up at the top that to balance out the super heavy
bass
at the
dimension.
Bottom. And it really, it's so small and so short, but it's repetitive and it really does add that dimension.
And it feels very hip hop.
It does.
Contributes a lot to that.
The implication of a record scratch.
Exactly.
For sure. And then when we get to the chorus, the instrumental just goes crazy. It's very loud. J-Hope's singing itself sounds like distant and muffled. There's a lot of reverb on it. And then it adds, the chorus adds these three just open rock guitar chords. And of course with the pre-existing bass and drums, it just really brings a lot of power, a lot of energy. You can't help but like headbang
you
with
can't
it.
Air guitar
damn.
To it. Like I air guitar those three
every
strong
fucking time.
Open chords every time. And I bang my head with it.
It's a must.
It's a must.
You have to.
It takes you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best part is that like those electric guitar chords kick off the chorus, so it like really launches you into it. It's like with the super stripped down, not super stripped down, but like more calm or like more chill verse instrumental, it is just jarring and chaotic, and it's so supposed to be that way.
It's amazing. Definitely meant to be that way. The stripped verses makes the chorus extremely satisfying when it hits.
Yeah.
When it hits, it's giving you it's giving you more. It's giving you what you're wanting.
Oh god.
And the verses are fantastic too. And I love the more simple stripped down beat drum. I mean, there's like no synths. There's not a whole lot of, you know, crazy production going on, you know?
No, it's like all music that could be made live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's something refreshing about that.
Yeah, it's so refreshing.
Yeah.
He just brings a lot with the production itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He really does. So his flow in the song, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it really varies throughout. But we have to talk about his vocal inflection and distortion, because he's really playing with his vocal inflection and how he, you know, lingers on certain words or how he's using his breath.
Yeah.
So one of the techniques that he's using consistently is he's doing this like croak gurgling in the back of his throat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all in his throat. Like he is letting out his last breath and just lazily letting it come out over a prolonged period of time. And it's so sexy. It's so sexy.
Insanely sexy.
It comes off kind of like moaning, but also like it's spooky and disturbing, you know, kind of a haunting feel with it. So some of the lines, though, where, you know, he's not doing that more lazily croaking in the back of his throat. Some of his lines, he's putting a little bit more oomph and attitude, like a little bit more moodiness when he's delivering his lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like that drawing out of a word also brings anticipation for, you know, for the upcoming chorus, or like especially when he's doing that in kind of the pre-chorus area.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, the flow that he's giving when he does get more rhythmic, like we've never heard this flow from him before. Like it's so unique, and you can tell that he is always working on like how he wants to deliver his rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some rappers really get stuck in a rut of like sounding the same all the time. Like that's a big criticism that I have of rappers that like my husband and I listen to together, is like his flow sounds the same in every single song. Like that's not really showing a lot of skill. J-Hope, like you said, his flow is so varied throughout the whole thing.
His range, because we've described his flow as bouncy before, and this is not bouncy. Mm-mm. It's more rhythmic, like you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, some parts kind of remind me of, like you said, it has the attitude. The attitude that he gives kind of reminds me of like that of a cypher, or even like an outro tier where he's like really passionate about something. But, you know, especially in verse two, he really gets into that attitude and you can really feel that. It has like that lack of funk or bounciness that we like would see in Hope World, maybe.
Ego.
But yeah, super rhythmic. And that rap is really constant, really consistent. He's not like taking a lot of breaks. He's just, I mean, flowing. He's flowing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I could not stop talking about it.
The like flow.
The flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Love especially it. That like during the verses, I mean, I know there's several verses, but not the intro or the outro.
Right.
Like that kind of that second verse.
Right.
You really hear that flow, that rhythmic flow come out. And yeah, it's just something, he's really showing his range and skill here.
Yeah.
And I think all of this production, you know, we're seeing a lot of different skill coming through from J-Hope.
Yeah.
He has not only made me go back into like Disease and Dionysus, but now I'm like full on listening to Beastie Boys. Corey's like, I have never heard you listen to Beastie Boys. And I'm just obsessed with the genre now. Like he's really opened the door to the rap rock genre for me. So just shuffling all of that in between more is so satisfying. And I love that on Spotify, he's not for more. He's not on like a K-pop rising or a pop rising playlist. He's on like a hip hop playlist, a curated playlist on Spotify.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's where it belongs.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
This does not fit on a K-pop genre playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that for him. And I just think that he has gone above and beyond in, I mean, his delivery in the verses, I just cannot be overlooked because the chorus itself is so fucking phenomenal.
I mean, we're not even talking about like his singing at the chorus.
Right. I mean, his singing, his vibe, his energy at the chorus is so incredible. But, and like, I mean, coupled with how good the verses are, how expertly he delivers them. It's a masterpiece.
We're blown away.
It's just the production. We're blown away. Like we were this blown away just listening to it the first night before we even knew what the song itself said at all.
Right.
Before we talked about the lyrics, we were absolutely giddy over just how it sounded.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's just talk about the lyrics. Let's get into
lyrics and meaning.
Yeah.
So it starts off, yeah, I'm thirsty.
Fuck.
Wreck us all. We're all thirsty. I've never seen ARMY so thirsty. Like,
no.
It's been a long time since, like, especially online. I haven't seen ARMY just going full feral. Like, they don't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
We're
who sees it? What is said? I mean, the timeline was downright nasty.
Yeah. Like, it was nasty. Usually ARMY, we try to be, like, professional, you know, try to be, you know, smart with what we say.
Veiling our comments so, like, you can read into what it means.
Exactly.
No, we're just full on saying any vulgar, anything.
It was pretty vulgar. I've screenshotted a bunch of like Twitter, the Twitter feed to you. And I'm like, what is happening? But I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like, embrace the fan.
Yeah.
Girl.
It's the effect of J-Hope.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm thirsty. But he's thirsty for more. He's talking about his hunger for more success, thirsty even for performing, thirsty to be with his fans.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Then he says, I need to go surfing on the beat. I'm a fish that met water, or can also be translated as I'm in my element. And then he says, soak up the music. So we're seeing water themes initially that kind of carry. And we think about water in general as being refreshing and renewing. And we think about this genre for him being very fresh as opposed to previous genres that we've gotten from J-Hope. And then him saying that he's a fish that met water, like it's just another clue to him being so in his element. Like Bethany, we felt innately that he's so in his element right here. We don't know how, because we've never seen them from this
we've
before.
Never seen him do this before, mm-hmm. but he is in his element
100%. Yeah,
the surfing on the beat makes us think of him like flowing smoothly and gliding with his rap flow too, or even with his dance moves, like surfing over the beat with his dance moves. And he even kind of does that in the music video. You know, you kind of see him dancing along to that line. But it also, surfing, it's just fun and recreational. So I kind of see like surfing on the beat, it's fun for him.
Yeah.
Like he's really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many metaphors with like, you know, the thirsty surfing, fish out of water. Mm-hmm. This isn't totally new for J-Hope. The mention of water here reminded me too of Daydream, where he talks about Captain Nemo and 7,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which, just a little random fact or a piece of tidbit info. On our way to LA, I actually read 7,000 Leagues Under the Sea, just because we were going to see them in LA. And I'm like, I'll read that book because J-Hope mentions it in Daydream.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like underwater, obviously. And then in the Daydream music video too, J-Hope has this scene where when he like sits up in his bed, you can like water fills up as a filter around him and you can see fish swimming around him.
Yeah.
And he's looking at it. And I just think it's so interesting to see the lyrics and the wordplay here and how it's not totally new. He's kind of used these metaphors of water and fish before.
Right. And clearly that's like something that speaks to him too. It's coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that has an impact on him and that he just wants to share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next he says, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which is this children's counting rhyme. So I know when I think of some children's like nursery rhymes, it comes off a little creepy to me. And I think that adds to some of the unsettling hauntiness of the song.
Yeah, totally. But like also the fact that this line is in here, like gives the feeling of choice and selection. And so it makes us question, like, what is he picking right now? What's he choosing from? Is he trying to play around with different genres, different sound effects, different rap flows and ad-libs. And, you know, it's kind of like the world is his oyster. This is like a new chapter for him and BTS. And he gets to pick and choose what he wants to do and what he wants to bring into it.
Yeah.
This game also, this children's counting game, has the idea of random selection, right? It's just wherever you land on at the end of the little rhyme is what's selected. So it could be giving some of that randomness too, which again contributes to the feeling of uneasiness.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it has that double meaning there. It's meant to be a little creepy, but he's talking about like just picking
what he wants,
different flow, trying things out, you know, and that it's up to chance almost.
Yeah. But also just having the freedom to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's playful too. I think it is playful as well.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say dancing baby flow. And so we thought you could think about this line in a couple different ways. You could think about dancing baby flow with like a comma after baby, using kind of baby as a filler word to the audience. And then again, that water element flowing like water, but also flowing like his rap, you know, so good. Or is it a baby flow? Like, is he using baby as an adjective for the type of flow that he's using, kind of representing his more chill verses, this relaxed flow that he has?
Yeah.
We, you know, we observe that he's not really spitting, you know, he's not rapping in a way that is forceful, that he feels like he needs to get this out. He has so much to say. It's rageful, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like that punctual rhythmic rap we talked about. So maybe it's like, you know, a baby flow, like a more chill flow.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's like a baby version of what to expect as far as rap style for the rest of the whole album from him.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's giving us just a little tidbit of what's to come.
Yeah.
You know, a little sample. But
yeah.
I kind of like the interpretation of just like the more relaxed flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really isn't spitting. But we were just talking about how his flow seems so different.
Yeah.
You know, it does seem a little bit more casual, but, you know, it's also still punctual.
Yeah.
And rhythmic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very casual, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So the next line he says, "Keep my passion, I gotta go." Instantly took me to Black Swan
mm-hmm.
and Run BTS, because that "I gotta go," you know, they say that, like, you gotta,
yeah.
you gotta in Run BTS. So I'm just like, man, he has no choice here. You know, keep my passion, I gotta go. Or mm-hmm. he just kind of feels like he's saying that to himself, and that, like, I just gotta figure out how to keep my passion and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just what he has to do.
Right. And that's maybe what he's doing with this song and with this, you know, journey, this album.
Totally.
Yeah. yeah.
And then he says, "I'm still not enough."
Fuck. The way he says that, too.
"I'm still not enough."
Oh.
Yeah. That's like, he's has attitude with that, but also like doing that croaking sound.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Dang it. Okay. but we feel like this goes along with the "I'm thirsty." Like, "I'm still not enough." Like, it seems like he's still not satisfied with himself or the heights that he's reached.
Right.
He wants to keep going, keep improving, keep working towards the top. Or he can also, you know, it might not just be towards himself, though when we've gone through the lyrics, we kind of feel like this is more him saying it to himself, but it could be just the expectations of those around him, you know,
mm-hmm.
the expectations people put on him.
Yeah.
And
even
that he's
the expectations he puts on himself.
Right.
Yeah.
And we really feel like it's himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. So let's get into the first verse where he's really like delivering that rap, that flow. And he starts off by saying, "For 11 years, I'm teaching myself. Underlining with a highlighter, it's the art of learning, endless learning." So this just made us reflect a little bit on his 11-year journey and, like, wow, he's really come so far and has developed so many skills throughout his career. You know,
mm-hmm.
he started as a street dancer, well known in that area, and then he was going to be a vocalist for BTS, and they ended up asking him to learn how to rap. So he learned how to rap and then has spent all this time honing the rap skill while still maintaining the incredible skill of dance and singing that he already had.
Yeah. It is so admirable.
Incredible.
When you think, I mean, when he's saying that he is teaching himself, self-taught, he's not lying. It's
yeah.
the truth. This man started as a dancer and had to adapt and learn and just teach himself how to rap.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to start, you know, producing and writing his own music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he puts his passion towards it and excels at it when he really does.
Yeah.
And it's true that it has to be true that he was underlining with a highlighter. That line really stuck out to me because I think about when you're like going through and maybe studying something, you're typically not both underlining and highlighting the same thing, or you'll do one or the other, but you're not using a highlighter to underline. And so it's like this double emphasis on every single thing. And so that really came across to me as him realizing that every moment of learning is important and that he feels like he's capitalized on that. He has underlined with a highlighter every single lesson that he's had over these 11 years, and it's been important to him, and he knows that he needs to do it all to stand out, and he can't miss these lessons. He has to remember them and
yeah.
carry them with them and study them.
Exactly. He's putting so much emphasis on it. Yeah. I really love that you picked out, like, man, it's not just like highlighting, he's underlining. I mean, it really is like he's adding this double emphasis, like
mm-hmm.
cannot miss its utmost importance,
mm-hmm.
essential.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Endless learning.
Endless learning. Yeah. It's the key for him. Let's not bring up the key yet. Okay. We'll get into the music video later.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
So next he says, the art that comes out of crashing and falling. So really only to make music of this caliber, if you have failed and, you know, you learn from those failures, you're going to create better and greater music.
Yeah,
you know? So
totally.
I feel that with this line, he really has so much appreciation for failure. Like it doesn't seem like he really lets it get him down, you know, even if his fans don't see something as a failure, he's still looking back at it as a learning and growing opportunity, you know, and that art really can come from trial and error.
Yeah.
It does come from trial and error. And even mistakes or accidents and artistry can end up being what the artist likes more than what they were originally intended.
Totally.
So this like art comes from crashing and falling. Like the art comes from those failures.
Yeah.
You have to keep working at it, or even, you know, those mistakes end up giving you new ideas.
Yeah.
Or it takes you somewhere with your art.
Yeah. And I feel like he's really describing his creative process right here.
Yeah.
Which he has a unique approach to, because it doesn't seem like he has that fear of failure, because he has the perspective of learning from it. And just, oh, it's the process. It's part of creating the art, you know?
Yeah. Damn if I fail.
Damn if I fail.
Damn if I fail.
Yeah.
Disease again.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. These themes for him seem to keep coming up now. And so even though like the production of this song is different than what we've heard from him before, he's so in his element. He's so speaking his truth and what is real to him.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, even from where I stand, I make it move, make it mine, make it right. It becomes someone's favorite song again. And so, like, I took this as from where I stand, like, even if he's stuck in one place, he still makes it work. No matter what conditions he's put in or what's acting around him, he still makes it his own.
Yeah. Standing from, you know, where he is. Where
like,
he's
even
at.
If he's, like, you know, trapped inside the Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
You know, he's still making it
he
his own.
He still makes it work. He finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That I make it move. Takes me to Run BTS
yes.
again. Yeah, I make it move left and right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it to me, this sounds like a criteria list for a good song.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Make It Mine makes me think of how he's learned to write and produce music. And he's gained a lot of inspiration from other hip hop artists. And clearly has gotten a lot of influence from RM and Suga
yeah.
as well. But you know, with him not knowing really how to write and produce starting off, you know, he took that inspiration, but he can't copy it. He has to, or mimic it. He has to make it his own
mm-hmm.
and create his own style and rhythm. And boy, has he done that.
Yeah.
And he's even, you know, playing around with it now. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he really had that celebratory funk, still had that hip hop bouncy kind of flow that I just feel like not many rappers have. And then now he's got this super rhythmic chill flow.
Yeah.
I mean, the range on this.
The
band.
Range.
Yeah.
It's so interesting what you just said. And it made me think about even that first part, I Make It Move, and how his first connection to music was through dance. And maybe a criteria for him for a good song is also that you have to be able to move to it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to dance to it.
I mean,
because you have to move to this song.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's always talked about when he like went into rap and writing music, it all is influence. Its source comes from his knowledge of dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make yeah. it move.
So he's not going to make any music that he can't move to or that he doesn't want to move
yeah.
to. So
yeah.
he has to make it move. He has to
make it his
make
own.
It mine, make it his own, and then make it right. Just add those, you know, final touches.
Yeah.
The,
and it's
you know, perfect
be
it.
Everyone's favorite song. Yeah.
Talk about this favorite song. Like when he says everyone's favorite song, it is so full of attitude.
Yeah.
I love it. I melt over that moment, especially over the word again. When he says everyone's favorite song again, it has to be everyone's favorite song. It must have this, you know, widespread enjoyment for him to feel that it's successful, mm-hmm. but also that he knows that he's done it before. He's made someone's favorite song numerous times.
Yeah. But the attitude makes it sound like he's kind of like, oh, I have to do this again. Yeah. Now in a way that it can't just be any ordinary song. It has to be everyone's favorite song.
It has to be great.
I mean, I don't know if this is what really goes on, but it makes me just think of like probably the conversations that go around the production team where it's like, that's a criteria. It has to be a favorite song. And, you know, probably get sick of hearing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He goes on to say, that's the second half of my life, the reason of my life, and the joy of my life. With that as a driving force, I carry on. That really made me think about the line that says second half of my life, made me think about the first half of his life, maybe being BTS's first chapter or like their youth era, his youth, you know, and now that they're starting into the second chapter, this is like that second half.
Right.
Yeah.
That's totally it. You know, it's saying second half, second chapter is immediately where I went to as well.
And this criteria of like making great music that he previously just listed, that's what he's saying is the second half of his life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I find it so interesting after like that kind of attitude that he had at the line before, it seems like now he's telling himself why he's here,
right.
Why he's making the music and reminding himself it's the reason of my life. It's the joy of my life.
I just love that because to have the passion in any work that you're doing, you have to know your why. You have to know why you're doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And that's his driving force is his passion. He has a vocation and calling to produce music, create music, rap, dance, all of it, perform. Yeah. You know, it is his vocation.
It so is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will say, like, I think this is his why. But I also do think that he puts so much emphasis on it. And I feel this could be true for a lot of the BTS members, but J-Hope has talked about it in Disease, where he's a little bit of a workaholic, you know, like he works so hard. He's constantly putting everything he has.
And it's hard to put it down.
It's hard for him to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is his passion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But also his joy. I mean,
his joy.
The first verse is just already so dense with the information that he's telling us. And it's declarative of the type of music that he's making and also why he's doing what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get into the pre-chorus. And this is, again, really where he's drawing out his words and syllables and letting that kind of croaking, gurgling effect take place in the back of his throat. Mm-hmm. He says, bring it all. I'm doing it all. Oh, God, he's fucking ready. And he wants it. He's
bring
ready.
It. Yeah.
And it feels like he's already doing as much as he possibly can with doing it all. And the way he stretches that word makes us feel that he's really stretching himself thin as he delivers those lines. Mm-hmm. It's just genius.
Yeah. And I feel like this really sets us up. This pre-chorus here is really setting us up for the themes he hits on in the chorus. Because him saying, I'm doing it all, made me think of the common phrase of, I'm doing it all right. Why isn't it working? Like, why doesn't it seem like enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing it all. And he really is doing it all. But again, doesn't seem to be meeting his expectations or the fans or the company's expectations.
Right.
But, you know, I just feel like this is really him expressing himself.
Right. The line, I'm doing it all, when you're thinking about like the other expectations, external expectations, he also, being the first member of BTS to step out with the solo work, with the solo album release and the solo performance at Lollapalooza, I'm sure he really feels the weight of all seven members of BTS on his shoulders, you know, not even speaking about the company or the fans or whatever, just knowing that he's representing his brothers in what they're doing here. I'm doing it all.
I'm doing it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that because it really seems like J-Hope is stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
And like he's stepping up in a different role in a way that he's pursuing his solo career. But Namjoon, you know, we had talked about at the Festa dinner, you know, he's just done so much for the group. up to this point. Mm-hmm. And we've always kind of talked with J-Hope being the dance leader, that we've always seen these leadership qualities in J-Hope. So it really didn't surprise us for J-Hope to step up and be like, you're burnt out, you need to rest, let me do this.
Yeah,
I'm going to do this. I'm going to go first. I think of the Run BTS lyrics too at his bridge where he's thanking all his members. Mm-hmm. He's like, go get it, go get it. It sounds like he's, you know, like, thank you for all of your work. We're going to still go get it.
Right.
But he's
hyping
the one,
them all up.
He's the one hyping because he's the one about to kick off the solo work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he's doing it all.
He's doing it all.
It seems like a lot of self-sacrificing that mm-hmm. he's doing for the group to, yeah. you know, kind of just keep moving forward yeah. in a way.
And you can feel that in his delivery here.
Yeah.
For sure.
For the sake of BTS, mm-hmm. you know, and himself too. I just think, I don't know. I just love him so much. Like, you know, we really talked just about him as a leader and kind of his role as a yeah. group member of
yeah.
BTS.
He really is stepping into a leadership role to do this, and it's so much pressure. And I love that he's expressing how he feels from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the chorus, he says, ha, shout out, I say more.
Hell yeah.
It's a command to the audience. Like, mm-hmm. I really picture myself at Lala. I cannot wait
Fuck
to
yeah.
shout this line with him.
Mm-hmm.
I say more. I mean, he's literally saying, shout out, I say more. And yeah. I just can't wait to do it. It's yeah. a command to the audience.
Yeah, it's a command to the audience. And I feel like it's also a command to himself. Like, he's to be relentless in himself and in his drive towards more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's telling himself, I feel like there's so much power in I, in that declarative pronoun, I say more.
Yes.
Yeah.
We take those pronouns seriously now.
We do. Yet to come really taught us.
Yeah, I say more.
Yeah. He goes on to say, ha, yeah, right, because I want some more. Ha, shout out, I say more. Ha, yeah, right, because I want some more. And with these lines, I mean, we just feel that chaotic energy in the delivery. Like, you know how we said he wasn't spitting in the verses? Like, if there's like a spitting version of like singing rock music,
yeah,
then that's what he's doing here.
Screamo?
Screamo? Like, not quite, but you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is just really pushing all of this energy out yeah. with these lines. You can hear it in his voice, and it feels like exclamations from the soul. Like, he just had to get it out. There's so much emotion behind,
like, it's
him yelling
up.
These
yeah.
oh, it's so built up.
He's literally screaming it out.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I just feel like it works so perfectly off of the pre-chorus with, like, you know, bring it all, I'm doing it all, but yet I say more, I want more. You know,
right?
He does. He really right. does.
He really does.
So in the second verse, he says, kick snare in my ears. When I hear that sound, I hit that. Kick snare is the combo of like a bass kick drum and a snare drum. It really mm-hmm. is the building blocks of rap rock beats.
Right.
So when we had heard the teaser, we were like, wow, you can really hear that kick bass drum there.
Uh-huh.
And it's just interesting to hear that, you know, he hears this like in his ears all the time, that mm-hmm. kick snare beat, because
yeah.
he's just constantly, you know, working on his music.
He's thinking about it. He wants to move to it.
Uh-huh.
When I heard the I hit that beat, it makes me think of hitting that beat with either his dance moves or his rap flow.
Totally.
Like, he's doing both.
He's doing it both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Going nonstop without a moment to rest, making my mixtape. Yeah. The not a moment to rest. Makes me think of disease, not being able to rest. I mean, he struggled with that during the pandemic, and he just feels the need to keep going, keep working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so dedicated to his craft.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's just always working on music, whether he feels pressure to pump out a mixtape or that he just has felt inspired to really work on his mixtape.
Yeah, for
or
sure.
For now, it's a solo album. He says
right.
mixtape because I think for a long time it was a mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt he has a mixtape up his sleeve in yeah, addition no. to a solo album.
No, not what we thought at all. Totally thought album. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but totally. I mean, it's totally reminiscent of like what he talked about in Disease and that uneasiness of being in a resting state and not mm-hmm. being able to and just continuously going.
Yep.
He continues to say, even when I receive feedback, I get back. First of all, I love this play on words. Like, I just love using feedback and get back. And then it makes us think of the earlier crash and falling line of making art and music. It, you know, it's like his philosophy of no matter if it's positive or negative criticism, whatever feedback he gets, he takes it in, he learns from it, and then gets back to work.
Yeah, and I love whether it's positive or negative, he thrives off both and he welcomes both. You know, he really doesn't have a negative reaction to criticism. He sees it as opportunity for growth. And doesn't feel, he does not fear failure. And I just, that's admirable.
What a role model.
Yeah.
You know, that's so aspirational to, like, I would aspire to feel that way about failure.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it's only human and normal to, if you do receive negative criticism, to sit in that, to feel bad and whatever. But for him to come out of it thinking, I'm taking it and learning from it and getting back to work, I think is so admirable and definitely something that makes me want to work on that even more. Like, he's putting this on my mind and, you know, like, being able to respond to criticism, no matter how it comes, positive and negative, is always going to help you learn and improve. Genius. And then he says, I'd gladly eat it up. Kit Kat, it's sweet to me. Appreciate is like an ad lib added there to the end. So a lot of ARMY were pointing out this play on words with Kit Kat, because Kit Kat is considered to be a good luck charm in Japan, because it its pronunciation, which is like kitokato, sounds similar to a phrase kitokatsu, which translates to you're surely succeed and win. And I actually know that before like tests and things, Kit Kats are a common gift in Japan. Like between, you know, school aged kids will gift each other Kit Kats to be like, good luck on your test.
Oh, really?
So just this idea of Kit Kats going along with success, representing success, is just genius for him to put that in there and then saying it's sweet to him. Like, success is so sweet to him.
Yeah. The success is very sweet to him. And I think like that it's a positive feedback for him too. We were talking a little bit about that, that like he gladly eats it up. So I just picture like all of the ARMYs and interviewers and just, you know, anyone who's talking about BTS's success, it's so sweet to him. He's happily taking the feedback and, you know, continues to take that as motivation to continue on. And continue to succeed.
Instead of feeling, maybe contrastingly, what we've worried about is that it is added pressure on them, feeling that really positive, overall positive feedback from external factors is more pressure and can be, you know, crushing.
You know, and I think this is J-Hope's speaking on it and how it maybe makes him feel, you know, it could, he could still feel pressure from it, but right here it's making it sound like it's a motivator to him and that it's so sweet to him to hear about the success.
It's that payoff of all the hard work.
And so this Kit Kat sweet word play on words, we just think like the success is sweet and so is the treat.
Hell yeah. He goes on to say mutual relationships working in my favor. And this made me think of like relationships and hookups that he has in the music industry. You know, maybe the people that he's worked with over the years or has gotten to know in recent years with all of BTS's jet setting around the United States and all of the different circles they're in now. Like, people have given him more information and knowledge to help him in his music writing and help him improve. And he's really taken that to heart.
He really has. You were saying you think he's got some inside tracks in the music industry. And we both are really thinking about how Snoop Dogg mentioned he had worked with BTS, but we just got proof and there's no Snoop Dogg there.
No.
So we're like, is there a Snoop Dogg collaboration with like, J-Hope on this album?
Who else with BTS would work with Snoop Dogg?
I think of when the Super Bowl happened and Snoop Dogg performed. J-Hope was all over his Instagram about Snoop Dogg. So I just feel like that, I mean, he's a true 94 line. I'm a 94 line. And, you know, that's the music that was around, you know, when I was growing up. So I, and that's been his inspiration.
He loves Snoop.
Just imagine if that happened.
That would be iconic.
It would be so iconic.
Right. And the only way that he would have a collaboration with Snoop Dogg, because when Snoop Dogg like leaked that he worked with BTS on like a radio show or whatever, he had said like, I didn't know who BTS were. I wasn't familiar. I hadn't worked with them before. So for J-Hope to have that collab, if he does, he really does have to use those mutual relationships to
working
have those hookups working in his favor.
Right?
Like,
who's
your, like, what if Hybe is like, who's your dream collab
for
your album? And he's like Snoop Dogg. And
why not,
like,
go all out?
Right. Why not?
You know,
yeah.
He has nothing to lose.
Mm-mm.
And he doesn't fear failure. So he's like, I'm going to take my chance on Snoop Dogg.
Right.
I mean, we're acting as if it's going to happen. But who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, he collaborated with Cause for his cover art for More. And he loves Cause. He collects all of the, you know, I don't know what they are, like figures, the Cause figures.
Yeah.
He's so passionate about that. So for that to have been collaborated on his album and for More, that just is so meaningful. You know, that's so meaningful to him.
Yes. For Cause to have made art for him to be able to commission artwork from Cause, like,
yeah.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for him to be writing and producing all of these songs, of course, he's so invested and proud of this. And it's really reflecting him, his new album and this song. But to also have like special interests like this, it has to make the album really feel him, fully him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've also been seeing just like on his Instagram stories, he's tagging a whole bunch of people. We also have seen that he tagged RM in one of the like, and, you know, and what else or and next or something like that.
Right.
And so there's rumors of potentially a featuring RM.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? We're really excited for when the album comes out. We'll have to see when what ends up happening.
Yeah. Another mutual relationship, just because he tagged them on Instagram, was the person who made his costuming for like the music video, which was 99% Ayaz or Percentis. But yeah, so like they probably would not have been able to, you know, like, know each other, collaborate, had they not had some mutual connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I just love that he's taking the time, even in the lyrics here, to shout out those mutual relationships and to give thanks and gratitude.
Yeah.
I mean, just, I don't know, he's awesome.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I mean, literally every single one of these lyrics have a meaning.
Right.
You know, there's no filler lines in this entire song.
There's no fluff.
Zero.
Yeah. Every line means something. Yeah. So let's go to the next one. Pump some gas, and I drive to the beat again. He's fueling himself up to keep going. Pump up some gas. Whether he's fueling himself to keep going with dancing or writing music, you know, drive the beat. You know, we were thinking like exploiting the beat, like fitting everything that you can into it without being offbeat.
Yes.
You know, Kaylee, you were really talking about like just putting it all in, exploiting it, you know. To the beat. I drive to the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Driving the beat is like that term in rap music. Like, man, he really drove the beat. Like, he packed everything in there that he could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just couldn't help with this line, too. Of course, think of just Airplane, the music video for Airplane, that car. For some reason, I just like mentally went there, like him getting into a car, filling up some gas in it, and just like hooking up his MP3 and driving around, testing out the sound of his mixtape and what he's working on and listening to it while he's out driving.
Like, yeah.
I'm sure it's not that literal, but I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know, like, I don't write music, but I would maybe want to just, like, you know, hear my stuff instead of just in the studio, hearing it out while I'm driving around just to test it out.
Well, maybe that's part of his creative process. I drive to the beat again. Maybe it is more literal also. Like, maybe he puts on some songs he's working on, drives around, and can I vibe to this in the car? Am I grooving to this? Do I want to listen to this on my commute? Like, what if?
Just picturing sexy J-Hope in that sexy car from Airplane. Yeah, yeah.
Jamming out to this song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, the use of the word some, pump some gas, I was thinking, like, he's not running on empty, but he's never on a full tank. And it sounds like, you know, if he is starting to get low, it sounds just so casual. Like, just pump some gas and keep going. Drive to the beat again, you know, just pump some gas and keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he really has that attitude with work.
Yeah. That interpretation to me is like a revelation. Just the use of the word some gas and the implication that he's never, like you said, never on empty, but never on a full tank either.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for him and what that does for him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also made me think of the gasoline line in Run BTS, just like bringing some continuity between like BTS's most recent album and their, you know, first solo work.
Yeah, there's so many parallels with Run BTS lyrically from there over that carry over into more.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Run BTS bridge earlier, J-Hope's bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, now that we know that he has this album and that he has more, it makes so much sense why he had the bridge and why it was that bridge, you know? Like, yeah.
Because it's all hyping, like, go get it, go get it. Yeah, it just makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. It's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he says, everyone should be careful because I'm careless. Drunk in cool paintings that embody art, I continue to give a dare like Dali.
Wow.
He's careless, drunk, and daring in his artistry.
Fuck.
That is what he's saying. He is overconfident, almost delusional, but like so absorbed in his music. He could just be trying out different genres and musical elements that he hasn't explored before. We're seeing that here. But he's getting more experimental with his craft. He's really just feels this confidence and that, you know, we have to be careful. We got to watch out because he is drunk and daring and careless. He's mm-hmm. going for it.
Yeah, totally. Like going off of that, the video lyrics have a slightly different translation. So I just want to mention them because it informs what you're talking about mm-hmm. as well, where he says, drunk in the artistic painting, keep hyping up Dali. And what's interesting, we found out from Dualset that Dali could have another translation besides representing Salvador Dali, the painter. Mm-hmm. Dali can also mean in Korean differently. So it could be like making music differently from others as the implication. But I want to go with the first meaning of like Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
Because that was really intriguing. And at the time that he's delivering this line in the music video, you see a skull as well. And so you really think about Salvador Dali because he kind of meddled in things like that. Mm-hmm. Dali was like absurdist and abstract in his artwork. And he often explored psychological themes in his artwork in a way that no one else had been doing. And his paintings would often evoke like uncomfortable feelings. And that vein of artistry goes along with like him being drunk in like the delusions of his artwork here.
Yeah.
Like, totally.
Yeah. I think it has that double meaning. And I think I really went more towards like Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
You know, and just like the experimentation that, you know, what he brought to the art worlds, especially with those more like psych themes,
yeah.
which I guess he like really liked Sigmund Freud and yeah. inspired him to go that route with his art. But it was pretty revolutionary in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, being daring to try out different things.
Different things. Yeah, yeah. Totally. He goes on to say, I want it stadium with my fans. I still do. I sweep into my bag all the trophies, Grammys too. And this is the only part of the song besides the chorus that also has that vocal distortion, that reverb on
the
it
reverb,
too.
The reverb, it's strong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to me, this just says he still wants more and he's ready to perform. And like we, you know, we keep having that question mark of, are they pursuing the Grammy? Are they not? Do they care about it anymore after this last year's letdown? Yeah. And it seems like he's like, he still wants it.
He still wants
it. He's still calling out the Grammys.
I love the honesty.
Mm-hmm.
I love the honesty.
He fucking wants it.
He wants it. He mm-hmm. wants more. In the next line, he says, fame and money don't mean everything. I already know it.
Mm-hmm.
He's acknowledging that he knows fame and money isn't everything. But nonetheless, he still craves it. He still wants it.
Yep.
Just kind of feeds off that line before it. You know, he's just being honest about what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he knows it's not everything,
the
desire
it.
Is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lyrics are so similar to Auguste's Give It To Me here. Like hearing fame and money, I was like, fame, flashlight. Yeah. Like immediately went to Auguste's Give
yeah,
It To Me.
Right.
And similar themes lyrically
totally.
Between those two songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Where the greed is popping up here for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He continues to say, my work makes me breathe, so I want more. And this is like, again, reaffirming that this is his passion and reason for living,
mm-hmm.
like creating this music, performing it, putting it out there, letting the people enjoy it. And, you know, the process of doing it is just what he wants to do
yeah.
and needs to do.
His passion seems to still be there.
Yeah.
He's still very passionate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is fulfilling his dreams,
yeah.
though. He is going with what brings him joy.
Yeah.
I feel that even though, you know, he feels he can be a bit of a workaholic, but his career really brings him joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, disease themes too. So yeah. Just feeling that continuity with J-Hope's lyricism himself. God, this bridge. Mm-hmm. This bridge, the bridge.
Where the bridge.
He says, inhale, inhale, exhale, exhale. And this is yeah. where, I mean, this is probably the time in the song where he draws out that exhale word the most. And yeah. he has that most like croaking in his throat. He's actually in this moment breathing in his work that he's just talking about. This is, you know, where he says, my work makes me breathe. And so he's breathing it in. He's taking a moment in the song to do that. Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To not only breathe, but lyrically say it out loud.
Yeah.
You know, inhale, inhale, exhale, mm-hmm. exhale.
So he's actually inhaling and exhaling at his part too. You can hear him inhale and exhale. You can hear him say it. It's, I mean, there's so many meanings here and I love it.
Me too. I feel alive. Ugh. His work gives him life. Making, performing music, it gives him life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring it all. I'm doing it all. And this bridge is so climactic because it really, it's so calm, but it's the calm before the storm mm-hmm. because then we get that killer chorus yeah. where he is just letting it out.
Yeah. Yeah, because in this bridge is where we hear those really pretty little like seventh chords.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, the fact that he has that line that you said, I feel alive, after he inhales and exhales, like that life, he has life from, you know, breathing in his work here, after breathing in, literally saying, I feel alive.
Yeah.
You know, God.
It also sounds like he's grounding himself mm-hmm. too. A lot of people use breath to gain control and to feel present yes. in the moment.
Yes.
So like maybe when he's feeling out of control in his work or feeling overly pressured or anything like that, he's reminding himself, this is your joy, this is your passion. Just take a breath, inhale, exhale. And now it sounds like, bring it all, I'm doing it all, fuck yeah. Like, yes, this
girl.
Is it. Like, to ground you, like, he's yes. doing some meditation in the yes. middle of this.
Fuck yes. Oh, God, you are a genius. As
You're
much
a genius
as J-Hope
too.
Is a genius for these lyrics. Like, God, yeah. This bridge, it seems so short, but it really impacted us, you know, when we first listened to yeah. it. And then when we continue to dive into the lyrics, just the all the representations of life and breathing and his work and his passion mm-hmm. is all summarized right here in
yeah.
the bridge
yeah.
Expertly so well. And then he really brings us home with that rocking chorus again and with the outro, which is a repetition of the intro, and which just tells us he's ready to keep going after this. He still wants yeah. more. He's still thirsty.
Yeah,
he's still not enough. Damn.
Yeah, he still wants more. That's more. I mean, the whole theme.
J-Hope, what the fuck?
Amazing.
So incredible.
I just goosebumps repetitively.
Yeah.
Every single line, like we were saying, has meaning and almost has dual meaning.
Yeah.
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 The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so let's get into the music video.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so first we'll talk about the setting. And in this music video, we see a lot of parallels in a lot of ARMY. We're pointing out parallels to Fight Club just visually. Mm-hmm. So even with the lighting, there's kind of this like yellowish greenish filter that's similar to a lot of what we see in Fight Club as well. There's this like psych wardy room, like bedroom where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
There's also connected to this like a hallway and like a hospital bed testing area examination room as well.
All seems like different parts of the psych ward.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why we say psych ward is because his door is this door with like this, the like this eye slot that slides open and closed,
mm-hmm.
Which is very psych wardy or like prison-y, you know?
Yeah.
You're being viewed. You're being watched, you know?
Yeah.
Monitored at the very least. And there's also in this room minimal, very casual furniture, like retro wood pieces and very 90s technology kind of sprinkled throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on when we see that hospital bed, it made us think of parallels to Ego with him sitting in the hospital bed in both different music videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for setting two, there's also this office space where there's several office workers all spread out at different desks or standing by copier machines. And then we also we're hearing rumors, and we feel like this is the truth, but there's a Taeyong appearance. He's one of the office workers, and people are like, well, Army was saying his toes are out. He's in those shoe, like flip-flop shoes, yeah. Toes out. It has to be Taeyong.
100%. There's no one else like him. Who has their toes out in an office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With the curly hair, the freshly permed.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Taeyong.
It's 100% Taeyong.
He made an appearance in Daydream, too. Yeah. So I'm sure he was begging to be in more.
Very cute if he was really there and he was at both music video filmings. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also this garage band space that it looks like, you know, kind of like a garage space because we see tools, paint cans. There's a washer and dryer over in the corner. Mm-hmm. Some of the windows kind of look like the rolling part of a garage door.
Right.
So, and it just makes sense for like a grunge rock band to be playing in a garage.
Yes. Like who didn't play out of their parents' garage when they were starting their grunge rock band?
Exactly.
You know, everybody, every band started that way, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, BTS literally recorded their first album in a garage. So I think it's iconic that J-Hope has a garage setting here. In his like first solo debut work.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's perfect. But really all of the settings in here parallel straight to Fight Club.
Yeah.
Like it's very similar to
the
Fight
hallways
Club.
Painted the same. The office space is like super boring and, you know, like looks very, very similar. Even some of the shots that we get of J-Hope throughout the music video are reminiscent of some of the camera shots that we get in Fight Club.
Definitely.
Yeah. So let's talk about the makeup and the outfits that he has. Like I said earlier, his outfits were designed by 99% Ayaz. And this outfit is like he has a white jumpsuit and a black jumpsuit. And so we see him in these two different characters throughout the music video.
Black jumpsuit, I'm sorry to interrupt, reminds me a little bit of the Dior outfit. A little bit. It's not like that high end.
Right.
But same vibes.
Mm-hmm, same vibes. Hosok in all black. Fuck.
Hot.
Yeah, so hot. And like the fact that it's a jumpsuit also continues to evoke the feelings of a psych ward.
Yeah.
Being like mentally unstable. Mm-hmm. And then he's either in clown shoes, like in the white outfit, he's wearing clown shoes that have like black and white checkerboard on them, or in the black outfit, he has Converse on. And then the whole time he has short black hair and he pushes it back off of his forehead, which is very mature looking, but it's also so similar to his debut hairstyle. The black hair pushed back off of his forehead.
Yeah, we got full forehead.
Full fucking forehead.
Full forehead. And Hosok has one of the better foreheads. Mm-hmm. They all have great foreheads, but man, when it's out.
You once said it was the best.
I did. I did. But he doesn't have it always pushed back. Sometimes the bangs come forward a little bit. And his hair looks somewhat gelled, kind of like this greasy look to it at some points. Yeah,
for sure. Like at the beginning of the music video, it's kind of in his forehead a little bit down on his face. But when he walks into the office, he has it like fully pushed back.
Oh,
like forehead out.
Intimidating.
Yeah,
as
intimidating as fuck.
Yeah, yeah. So for makeup, we really need to point out this Earl piercing that he has, he only has it during the garage rock scenes.
In the white outfit.
In the white outfit. Mm-hmm. And that Earl piercing, it's the, you know, that double ball piercing just at the top of the bridge of the nose between the eyes.
Right.
Oh, it's so hot.
I'm
like, what is happening to me?
God.
I'm like, my inner emo self is just like coming out, you know, back from 2017. It's just like reignited here.
I did not know that piercing like could be so sexy.
I know.
Like, God.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Oh, he looks so good with it. He also has his nails painted black and white. He has black smudgy eyeliner and eyeshadow, which gives off this illusion that he's tired or his eyes are sunken in, like he hasn't slept in days.
Yeah.
In some of the scenes, you can see that it looks like he had been crying or like mascara lines are running down his face. It's super faint. It looks like maybe he quickly tried to wipe it off.
Right.
But you only see it at certain angles and in certain lighting.
Right.
But it looks like he maybe had been crying.
Yeah. You know? It's like how the light reflects off of it, but you can like, you know how it looks and you can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that like that tiredness that can parallel to like the Fight Club, like the main character in Fight Club had insomnia and that's what kind of sparked his like mental break.
Definitely.
But also going back back to the lyrics of the song of him just pumping some gas, and he's never running on a full tank. He's just going.
Always working.
Yeah.
So we're going to just generally talk about the storyline of the music video here. So at the beginning, we've got black jumpsuit Hosok. He receives a box outside his door and the key to more, which has, it flashes on the screen. It's got a black backdrop, just the key. You see a light shine across it and it says more on the silver key. He picks up the box, brings it in and opens it up. And then from this point on, it seems like he becomes an outside viewer into his own delusions. You know, it's like he's looking at himself within the box.
Right.
You know, he's watching himself.
Right. So he's watching everything that's transpiring here. Mm-hmm. And this key to more popped up in the teaser, and then it pops up here at the beginning. But it, I mean, there's one other time in the video that we see a key, but it feels like, why is this right here? Mm-hmm. And so it feels like maybe everything that he's telling us and showing us in this music video is what he's representing as that key to more.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, he's asking, he's saying he wants more, and this is the key to it. So it seems that these are his answers, or what he thinks leads to more.
Right.
Yeah. At this part of the music video, this is where he says the beginning line, yeah, I'm thirsty.
Fuck.
And he chokes his own neck and brings his hands out away, like holding his throat. And we all flipped out. Army was on the floor.
Hottest thing of all time.
Couldn't handle it. My friend Amber, who's a J-Hope bias, she's like, I had to pause within the first line because he said, yeah, I'm thirsty. Like, that is just overwhelming. Oh. He looks so hot. I cannot. He looks so hot. But also,
he says it so sexy. Like, damn.
He says it's, yeah, I'm thirsty.
Yeah, I'm thirsty. Fuck.
No. Okay.
Literally fanning ourselves over here.
This part too, he has this really neat camera work going on. It reminds me of the DNA camera work with Jungkook whistling.
Yeah,
but it's that camera arm that pulls and goes to different angles and goes left and right, down, up, you know, all over.
Mm.
But there's this one where it goes down and his chin is up. He looks like he's sucking in air between his teeth. And he looks like judging Hosok.
Fuck yeah.
But like emo, sexy god. Like, I mean, I am just destroyed by this shot of him. It's so flattering on him.
It's almost, he's looking at us as the audience, almost like, are you ready for this or you're not ready for this? Like, he knows that we're not.
We're not.
So then we see him walk into the office space and he looks around like a little surprised for a moment, but then he kind of wipes his chin and rubs his hands together like in anticipation. He's ready to stir shit up.
Yeah.
He seems like he's mocking their work as he's walking through the office space and he doesn't find it important. He trips a coworker then and photocopies their face and stands on a desk and gets cheered on by the entire office. So he's like, already like breaking this mold, breaking these people out of their, you know, like their ritual office work, and just
he's
saying, look at me.
Shit up.
Yeah. Causing some mayhem.
Yeah. He causes mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the office space could reflect how he feels about his own work sometimes, and that it's, you know, can be mundane or boring or the same thing over and over. And in this delusion, he's saying to hell with it. You know, like he's going in and changing it up.
Yeah.
Breaking the status quo.
100%. I just find him so, I mean,
yeah,
to be so attractive. When he turns the corner and he's walking straight towards the camera, this is like really when you can appreciate that full forehead. Mm-hmm. And he has this one, I mean, this one line delivery where he's super snarly. You can see like his whole, like his teeth and his mouth and his nose scrunched up.
His neck is straining.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hot. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, tell me, you know, like, yeah, you shake the shit up.
Damn. Right. He goes over and sits down on the desk and picks up a pile of papers and starts tossing them around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Again, full forehead looking over at us. Like, I mean, he just couldn't be sexier.
And when he's saying that, he's like making someone's favorite song again and throws those papers away. Like, it's so fucking casual.
Yeah.
God.
So then from here, the camera pans over to the GarageBand space where he's in that white jumpsuit and he is rocking out. And we felt like this parallels to the basement of Fight Club, where the fight actually goes on and they can let loose.
Mm-hmm.
This is him letting loose in this garage setting, screaming out this chorus.
Yeah, 100%. That's his space for it. So then after the phenomenal chorus and seeing him just rock out, shocked the first time we saw that, just mind blown, jaw on the floor. Black jumpsuit Hosok then leaves the original room, that like kind of psych ward room that we saw him in, and wanders into the hallway, that Fight Club hallway. And again, when he first steps in the hallway, he kind of looks around as if it's his first time there. Mm-hmm. But then right after that, we see him walking on the hallway so coolly and casually, super comfortable, just kind of looking around. So then he comes across an open door in the hallway through which he observes himself in a hospital bed getting examined by a nurse. Mm-hmm. So like he's watching himself get this.
He's looking in on himself.
Right. Yeah. So again, it's like that split kind of personality, that split perspective, that him observing himself in the moment too. And he looks a little bit confused, but he's also kind of blank faced at the same time, like not quite sure what's going on there.
Right.
Or it's, and they don't all, they also don't acknowledge him, his presence.
No, so, they don't. Yeah. And he really is just an observer looking in. And I think too, with like this hallway scene and like when he first walked into the office where he looks a bit shocked and he's looking around, it's because it's just like he's, it's this, you know, kind of out of body self that he has going on here looking in. So it feels new and different, even though it's very familiar.
Right. For sure.
Jamais vu.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then there's a x-ray of him that the camera pans to that's in this examination room. And this takes over the performance for a moment where we see his x-ray, you know, performing and spitting his lines. This is where the reverb is, where he's like, I want a stadium with my fans. And, you know, it's just that part where he's like, he's literally being transparent with us with this x-ray. He's showing us like himself to the core with this x-ray.
We were just talking about how honest he was, you know, and in x-ray, there's no hiding anything there.
Right.
And he's delivering those lines here.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you say that before? Or did you just
I thought
come
about
to
it
that?
Earlier. I wrote it down lower in the doc, but it makes sense to say here. So
yeah, he's not hiding it.
He's not hiding it. I mean, he's fully transparent here. Yeah,
yeah. So then the camera pans from the hospital room back through the office and the psych room where J-Hope and the office workers were frozen in time. Mm-hmm. They're just frozen in time, and then the camera comes into the garage band room with white jumpsuit Hosok, and the band are all frozen in time as well. And then when the chorus hits, this sharp glass that's like suspended in the air crashes to the floor as J-Hope and the band rage.
Yeah, they fucking rage.
Yeah.
I love that moment because, like, I mean, that time being suspended goes so much along with that production too, that like it's really building the anticipation.
Yeah.
And to see the glass crash to the floor, but also it's like J-Hope himself, he crashes his body to the floor, like he's like jumps down, and like, you know, like you really feel that the beat drop, the guitar riff drop, it's just everything. It's visual, it's musical.
It really builds the anticipation. And then you get that big boom with the chorus, and hello, talk about a jack-in-the-box. You know, the jack
the pop.
Popping out.
Fuck
oh my gosh, there's just so many layers.
Like every he thought about every aspect of
every
this.
Detail. Every detail. He works so hard. He works so hard. It shows. It shows. I just have to fangirl about, you know, this is where we get a lot of really close-up shots, this like last chorus here of J-Hope, and you see that Earl piercing, and I swear his smoky eye, or not, I guess it's not really smoky eye, but like that smudgy eye looks even heavier, and
it's fully out over his whole like eye socket.
The way this is just like he looks so in his element. And he says he's in his element. The way that he pulls on the cord of the mic, and he's crouched over, and he's just like falling into himself all around the room, feeling the music, but, you know, kind of dancing. I mean, it's just like he looks like a pro. Like he's been in a rock band his whole life.
Right.
You know, it doesn't seem like unfamiliar territory to him. But boy, we've never seen him like this before.
No, and we've never seen him hotter either.
No,
God damn.
He looks so hot. The close-up shots, the piercings, the makeup, the way he's moving his body, the way he's delivering the lines, his voice.
So hot.
It's all hot.
It's everything.
Like, there's a reason ARMY is thirsty.
I mean, we've been talking about like delusion, but he makes us delusional here. Right. Like, I'm going fucking crazy.
Our sanity is gone. It's gone.
I've lost it. Literally. I mean, I just can't get over it. I cannot. Yeah. He, he does it so well. And he, like you said, he's so in his element, but it makes me think back to the lyrics of like his criteria for music, mm-hmm. make it move. And he is moving to this like, yeah. man, that has to be his number one criteria because that's why he's so in his element.
That's got
to
be it.
He has to move to this he and he knows to how to move to it.
You're right.
God, J-Hope. Yes. He's so amazing.
He really is.
So after this incredible final chorus, the music video finishes with him in his room with that sofa, the psych ward room, and he's looking into the box, which shows a diorama of the, you know, three different scenes that we've seen of the psych ward room, the hallway, the office space, even that garage band mm-hmm. room. And he's acting like he's kind of contemplating what he's just watched, and he kind of looks pleased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's thinking, you know, he puts his hand on his chin, he cocks his head to the side, kind of thinking like, should I do that? Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, you know, and he seems satisfied, but still a little unsure because then you see him close the box up again,
right.
Thinking like, should he let the jack out of the box?
Yeah.
You know, this kind of crazier side to himself right. where he's really just letting loose and not playing by the rules.
Mm-hmm. God. And yeah. he really let the jack out of the box for this song.
Yes, he did.
So I'm excited for the rest of the album yeah. just from seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about some common symbols and themes that we saw throughout the music video before we wrap it up. So that key, we saw it right at the beginning of the video. And then we saw it about halfway through in that frozen still where time was suspended. And this is when we float through the psych ward room with black jumpsuit Hosok frozen as well. And in the shot, we see the key floating in the middle and then kind of like the cord of the earbuds are kind of near it. So if you haven't spotted the key, it's in that area. We see some like earbuds to listen to music. We see three books. We see a cup of coffee. We see a piece of toast, just all kind of suspended in this area around him.
Yeah. And we felt like these items are common items or elements that he uses to produce music when he's making music. Like
yeah.
This is the key to his success, the
yeah.
key elements to his success, you know, where we think about like he's pumping up some gas, like even a disease talking about caffeine, like he's got that cup of coffee to keep him going. He's got his earbuds to listen and play back to different beats and tunes.
Mm-hmm.
He's got bread to fuel himself. But I just love that there's three books
yeah.
because he really talks about double underlining, highlighting the key mm. component of like self-taught and learning.
That's how
he's gotten here. That's yeah. how he's created great music, is by teaching himself
yeah.
and learning it.
Yeah. This is just a snapshot of the grind.
Yeah,
for sure.
I picture that these are elements that he continuously has when he's writing music.
For sure.
It's the key to his success.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the gesture. So we see him in this gesture hat for a moment in the psych room.
Mm-hmm.
So like we see two of him there, and we see the one kind of hanging out in the corner, and he looks really kind of creepy.
Super creepy.
But then we also get this robotic gesture hat that is hooked up to a machine in the hospital room that we see. And we're kind of curious, like, what is it measuring?
Right.
Because you can see it over on the screen. But we just wanted to talk about gestures and their roles. They're commonly known for flipping people's worlds upside down, creating illusions and changing perspective. We also see comedians as this role in society, or
yeah.
the fools of society.
Right. Comedians are kind of like that modern day jester.
Yeah. Yeah. But they give us such a different perspective on the normal day to day life. You know,
mm-hmm.
what seems normal to us and we don't question it, they flip it.
Right.
And they, you know, give you this different take on it because of their illusions or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think of Luna Lovegood playing the, you know, kind of the fool in Harry Potter
yeah.
and how she kind of brings this different perspective.
Right.
And I think that's what makes her so smart and
right.
clever.
Yeah, super clever, and makes people look at things in a different way.
Yeah.
They also entertain a wide variety of skills. They joke, they do magic tricks, juggling, acrobatics, singing, dancing. Gestures also often weren't taken seriously. So it's like, you know, it makes us think, will he be taken seriously as a solo artist, as J-Hope of BTS, instead of coming as the full group BTS?
Right.
And it again makes us think about him being a jack of all trades.
He really is.
He really is. We talk about what he has, the skills he surmised over his 11-year journey of singing, dancing, songwriting, rapping, writing, producing, everything, leadership. What he does is what he's collected, and he really is a jack of all trades.
He is.
As well as being that jack in a box.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I really feel like this jester is representative of that entertainer personality that we really think of J-Hope when we think about who he is on stage and mm-hmm. how he performs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really holding our attention.
Yeah.
So another really prominent theme in this music video, because of all of the Fight Club and because of the Salvador Dali connections with the when he uses that in the lyrics, paranoia and delusion really come up. So like when he's standing on top of that desk in the office with his arms spread being cheered on, that feels like a very like delusional moment of like delusions of grandeur, you know,
yes,
of thinking
yes.
that you're like larger in life and you deserve all of this, like these people cheering for you because you, you know, bullied some people in the office.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And even like when entering the office for the first time, he kind of scans the space as if he's seeing it for the first time, like we said, giving that a little bit confused feeling, but that's like that paranoia, like mm-hmm. where am I, what's going on, that paranoid kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And that paranoia, confusion, again, it's just like seeing himself from just like a different perspective, you know, because of this more paranoia, delusional, like not fully, you know, aware and awake.
Yeah. And then like that x-ray that we see when he mentions Dali, he's getting x-rayed, and the x-ray skull really is reminiscent of a painting by Salvador Dali called Ballerina in a Death's Head, where there's like a skull and there's a ballerina kind of painted, superimposed into it. And so we wanted to do a little bit more looking into what this painting represents, because he both mentioned the artist and then represented it visually. So yeah. This painting is an example of Dali's paranoiac critical method, which he developed in the early 1930s. And this artistic method is meant to link the aspect of paranoia that he was interested in. And he wanted to look at the brain's ability to perceive links between things that are not rationally linked, like a skull and a ballerina, mm-hmm. where he was able to merge them into one image. So kind of employing this method, his purpose of employing this method when creating art is to use it as a creative process to visualize images in the work and incorporate them into the final product, things that aren't there, but kind of like literally give into delusion that's not there and yeah. create that into your work.
Yeah.
An example of the resulting work is a double image or multiple image in which an ambiguous image can be interpreted in different ways. And I just feel like that interpretation of Dali's work is so represented in all of the layers of meaning that we've gotten out of his lyrics and out of this music video,
yeah.
where it can be it's a double image or a multiple image that can be interpreted in so many ways. He's telling us so much in every single aspect of this song.
Yeah. And I just think that's true art when you can interpret it in many different ways, and every interpretation is fair game.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel strongly that all of Moore is that, like,
yeah.
it's so multifaceted that I think you can go wherever you want with it.
Yeah.
And I think that really leads us into the box.
For sure.
Because we felt like we got so much from the box that it could mean so many different things. You know, we see him both inside and outside the box. There at the ending scene, it clarifies that he is looking in on himself,
mm-hmm.
Being introspective about this other side of him, or trialing this other side of him without it being like reality,
mm-hmm.
you know, quite yet. You know, are we calling this J-Hope Jack? You
right.
know, like,
is it a totally alternative ego?
Yeah, like, does he have an alternative ego?
Yeah.
And is it Jack? You know,
yeah.
this is Jack who's showing up. You know, we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, kind of in a funny way, but when we were watching this, we were like, this is not Hobie. You cannot call him Hobie.
We cannot call
there
him
is
Hobie.
No cutesiness that goes with this. You can't even just say J-Hope. And, you know, a lot of ARMY will joke that when he comes to the United States, they'll call him Jay because of his attitude and his
swagger,
sex appeal.
Yeah.
And yeah, but we're like, this isn't even Jay. This is beyond
yeah.
Jay,
and
you know?
Boy, does Jack fit this rock element.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. But we also thought, like, with the box, that it could represent he's being put in a box, by being this hopeful member,
mm-hmm.
you know, having this more upbeat celebratory funk music, you know, before his solo music, that was what he was.
Yeah.
And he was put into a box with that and not really, you know, maybe not able to explore this other side mm-hmm. of him that he's now able to do with his solo music.
Yeah.
But also, we thought the box could represent that he's been hiding this part of himself in a box.
Yeah.
He's been putting it away and that he's, you know, been, he's had this darker edge to himself, but he's just kept it hidden.
Yeah.
And to see him here at the end of the music video too, to be like really be questioning, you know, looking at it and being like, kind of like it.
Do I want to let it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. To some degree, he put himself inside that, you know, happy, joyful box. He's talked about how when he took on the stage name J-Hope, he really went on a personal journey to become hopeful. And he really started to embody his name, and his name really became who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So to some degree, he put himself and his music and what he wants to express into that box and those yeah. limitations on himself.
He took the name to heart.
He really did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, him being able to open it up, I love the interpretation of either him boxing up those darker feelings and keeping them in the box
mm-hmm.
or him getting himself outside of the box of those happy, joyful feelings. I think it could go either way.
It could go both ways. Mm-hmm. And it could mean even more than that.
Yeah, even more. I mean, I think that like he probably has ways that he thinks about it. And I think that any interpretations that fans have that are different from his, I think that he would love to see that and to hear that, that we're getting so much out of it.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like that chorus, when he delivers the chorus, it sounds like he's like opening the box and letting it all out.
Right.
So it's like you said earlier, when that Jack in the Box pops out, mm-hmm. that's like that opening. So, you know, kind of harkens back to him letting it loose, letting that dark
letting
side
it all out.
Yeah. We just absolutely love the song and the music video, every element of
We're
it.
Addicted. I can't stop listening to it. I'm like on this rap rock genre kick because of it. I have nothing but praise for him.
Yeah.
He really delivered an amazing song for
mm-hmm.
us, and he put so much hard work and detail into it. It really shows.
Yeah.
Really shows.
Yep. After the song, like, we were already very excited for the song and for the album, but now our anticipation is absolutely through the roof. We cannot wait for the 15th for his album to drop, and we cannot wait to see him perform it live at Lollapalooza.
Yep. I'm happy for him. I'm
so happy
for
Army. Him.
And I'm just happy to see this side of him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, J-Hope, for showing us this side of yourself and for giving us this incredible song.
Yeah.
Love it so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. So on that note, we want to also extend a special thanks to our VIP Iconics. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon, but especially to Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, and Holly. And Eileen, hope you had an amazing time in New York.
Yes, Eileen, you were here in the U.S.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed your time.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Write us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or really wherever you listen. It means so much. And it really makes people who don't know the show want to listen to the show when they see your honest thoughts and feedback about it. You can also reach out to us on Instagram or on Twitter. We're Standing BTS Podcast wherever. We love to hear from you. And of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.